Welcome to Faith Football Friends podcast. I'm Cole Parsley here with
Chris Elrod.
Forrest Senham Saris actually isn't with us today. He's at the Florida School of Preaching lectureship, so he's learning a lot of good things there. But we do have a special guest, namely Will Graham. Will Graham is with us today. Will, do you care to say a little bit about yourself?
No problem. First off, I'd like to say I love the Titans, and I'm so sad they're done. But a little bit about me. I've had Titans season tickets for the past 3 years, and I'm just a sports fanatic. So I love all kinds of sports. I've watched football since I was a little kid, so I'm ready to talk ball today.
That's what I like to hear. So we're going to talk a lot about football here on this episode. Will, I want to hear your perspective, and then Chris, why could the Titans, how come they couldn't stop Patrick Mahomes and that offense?
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay. What I think Malcolm Butler adds a lot more to this team than anybody realizes, because Sammy Watkins is the type of receiver that without Malcolm Butler, the Titans don't really have a corner to cover. And both of our linebackers were hobbled. So Jayon Brown still had a little bit of a nagging injury. And Rashad Evans went in at halftime or close to halftime with that foot again. So we had nobody to stop Kelsey either. And Kelsey hit us, I remember, on like 4 or 5 key third downs. We were just like, oh, we can't get off the field. So I think that had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Two starting linebackers who, are they both young? They're both young, right?
And yes, promising? Both young. Brown was drafted a year or two before Evans.
Okay. So that's good news, but they were both hurt. Malcolm Butler basically hasn't been here the whole season. Would you consider him our best cornerback?
Right now he is the best cornerback on the roster, in my opinion. I think Logan Ryan gives him a run for his money, but Logan Ryan is much better in the slot, I think. I don't think he's a outside number one corner like Malcolm Butler is.
Yeah, Adoree Jackson. Adoree, I think he's good. I saw when he wasn't in, you could tell.
Yeah, especially against a team like the Chiefs, with speedy receivers, Jackson is a very valuable asset to the team. He's great for guys like Tyreek Hill and Hardman, I think his name is, 17. He's great for those type of guys.
I mean, you can't really – everybody's injured. When it comes to the playoffs, every team's got injuries, but it would be interesting to see what it would have been like with Malcolm Butler, especially against this loaded wide receiver core we just lost to. Chris?
I definitely think it was a mistake putting – well, okay, the way our coaches handled IR was just a mistake this year, you know, and who knew it was going to be a mistake, but pulling Suck Up off of IR – and then having to put him back on IR, that really hurt us. Because if we hadn't have done that, then we would have been able to pull off Malcolm Butler. Because I do think he probably would have been able to play at this point if we had not already pulled off two guys. So that was probably, I'd almost say that was only the only mistake our coaches made all season, or the biggest mistake they made. I'm sure it's not the only mistake, but definitely the biggest mistake. But I would definitely argue that Logan Ryan is our best cornerback. I just think he's like the most consistent and just the hardest working, and he seems to make the biggest difference in the game overall.
His blitzing, yes.
Yeah.
He has I don't even know how many sacks, probably more than 5.
Right, but he also has a lot of interceptions too. Probably not as many as Byard, but he does have quite a few on the season. So, you know, he's definitely a game changer, a difference maker in the game. So I think he's really good. He's definitely my favorite corner as well. But honestly, I think even if Malcolm had been there, obviously I agree that would have made a big difference. But I think the cornerback position is a position the Titans are still lacking in a little bit.
Oh yes.
I think we have a great secondary overall, but I think we still need, you know, that lockdown corner who, like, you just know you can put him on the best wide receiver on any team and not worry about. And I know those are rare in the league because cornerback's a very hard position to play, and I'm not trying to discredit that at all, but I think that's a big difference, and I think we need a bigger and better pass rusher, you know, and I think that's kind of what most people have talked about Just because, you know, we don't have that one guy who can get to the quarterback and cause craziness just about every time, you know. So I think that's those are two big areas that really hurt us against that explosive offense.
Yes. And everybody's saying, why did we quit handing the ball off to Derrick Henry? Like, we had to. They were scoring at will. Yeah, we got down 14 points. Derrick, all it takes is 2-3 and outs trying to run the ball, and all of a sudden you're too behind to even do it anymore. And that's exactly what happened, I think. I did feel like our defense was playing safe. I didn't like how safe it felt like we were playing. At the same time, there was a couple times they threw over our heads, and I don't know.
Goes back to a point Chris just made. This Titans team doesn't have their version of Javon Kearse, and it shows. Mm-hmm. Mahomes went down maybe one time, maybe, that I can remember. I mean, you have to get him down. Yeah. And we just don't have that guy. Like, Harold Landry could be that guy someday, but he's not right now. And there's no pressure coming from anywhere else on that defensive line right now.
Another young guy. You got Jeffrey Simmons, who he's going to have a full year under his belt, full training camp when he comes back. But talking about, we just don't have that one guy on defense. We don't have a Dory Jackson's good. Malcolm Butler's good. But they're not Richard Sherman. They're not Darrell Revis. And speaking about Richard Sherman and Darrell Revis, did y'all see kind of some of the hype or the controversy going on right now? Did you see that?
Oh, yeah, Chris? Sherman and Revis were talking.
No, I didn't see any of it.
Okay, so basically, during the NFC Championship game, Revis decided to tweet basically about Sherman, saying, you're hiding in a cover three zone concept. For people to talk about you being the greatest ever, they can't even say that because you're not like me. Darrell Revis says, you're not like me in playing cover zero, man-to-man, going wherever the best receiver goes on the field and shutting him down the entire game. And that's exactly what Darrell Revis used to do. And then, so there's a bit of controversy. Is that a legitimate statement by Revis? What do y'all think?
I think it's an argument of scheme. Like, we could argue all day at all different kinds of positions, but at this position, at the cornerback position, it's a scheme thing. Like, Sherman is the best at his scheme, and Revis was the best at his scheme. Could Revis have played Sherman's scheme and Sherman played Revis's? We don't really know, because they've never been asked to do either one.
Yeah, I think Will just brought up a really good point, you know, because the automatic question could be reversed. You know what I mean? I feel like that's this kind of the automatic response. I think that's a really good point. I also think, though, that Sherman's number one skill set is running his mouth. And so, he's better at that than he is anything else. Now, granted, he is a great cornerback or safety. He plays a little bit of both, doesn't he? Or is it primarily
corner? I think it's just corner.
Okay.
It's primarily corner.
But the concept, you could argue, is like a safety, and that he's always dropping back in that cover three zone.
Right. And I think, and if I did hear something about this, and it seems like I did hear a little bit about it, it seems like Sherman did end up playing a little bit of man in the game against the Vikings, and he got a pick, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, I don't know. It's kind of hard for me to disrespect him. He's definitely one of the best in the league, you know. But I think, you know, I think pointing to the fact that it's all about scheme is a good point.
See, I'm going to – look, cover three, I don't want to take away from Sherman. But are you really going to tell me running a straight line backwards and making sure nobody gets past you deep is harder – then following Randy Moss all across the field and completely shutting him down the whole game, pressing him in his face? If he runs a streak, you're with him. If he runs a slant, you're with him. If he runs a corner, fakes the corner into a post, you're still with him. Like, I'm sorry, but that's undeniably, in my opinion, harder than dropping back in coverage in a cover three. Like,
no, you're right. That's a valid point as well.
That is. That's a valid point. You're asking more out of the Revis scheme than you are out of the Sherman scheme. You are.
And maybe to Sherman's point, like, I'm just playing what my coach are asking of me. And that's fine. But to be considered the GOAT and you haven't done what Revis is doing, I don't know. But I don't think Revis would play cover three zone as well as Sherman does, because Sherman's a lot taller than Revis.
He's that, like Malcolm Butler. He's that big corner where you, big receivers just can't play against him because he's just as big as they are.
he did talk his way into being relevant, though. Like, don't get me wrong, he backed up his talk, and I hated it. I hated it. I wanted to see him get, you know, shut up so bad. But he talked his way to getting attention by the media, and then he backed it up. So
then he moved teams and did it again.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I haven't watched a whole lot of the 49ers this year. And next week we're going to talk more about that Super Bowl matchup. But is that defense really that good? I mean, are they like the Seahawks against the Denver Broncos? Would you put them that high?
This feels like one of those Seahawks teams back before Russell Wilson got paid to me. This 49ers team has everything. They have a great defensive line, a great linebacking core, and a great defensive back core led by Richard Sherman. I mean, it reminds you a whole lot of those old Seahawks teams. It really does.
And I think that's the difference maker when you go against that Chiefs offense, which is why it's hard to bet against Patrick Mahomes. But if I'm ever betting, you know, you got a strong defense and a good run game versus just a pass heavy team, I'm always going to take the strong defense and the strong run game, which is what I thought the Titans had, but we got utterly exposed. I mean, basically on defense. But,
okay, yeah, we got exposed. I don't know. I don't know that I can say that we got exposed. We just got beat. Like, that offense is so good. Like, it was unreal how good that offense was. You know, like, and it's unreal how good Patrick Mahomes is. Sorry, Forrest, because I'm sure you'll listen to this later. But the dude is good. Oh, you know, like, really he is good. So good. Like, and you can't hate. I mean, you can hate on him, but, like, you've got to respect how good he is because the dude is good.
Yeah. Lauren, before the game, I guess the announcers were talking, and she was like, is this guy even good? I don't even know who this is. Talking about Patrick Mahomes. We were watching the game together, and I was like, yeah, he is that good. And then it was like third quarter, and I said, do you see now? She said, yeah.
Well, and like before the games, they like somebody said like he was like Lamar Jackson and Tom Brady put together.
I don't
and then
like
he kind of
that
proved
comparison.
That. Mm. You what?
I don't like that comparison.
He feels more like Aaron Rodgers to me.
Yes.
He feels like
he's
a more
Aaron
athletic
Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers.
That's what I was going to say. He's Aaron Rodgers, but he can run and maybe even better arm than Aaron Rodgers.
Definitely more mobile than Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
You know? And like, I understand what you're saying because he's not as quick as Lamar Jackson and he's not as shifty, but he is the best drop back, pass it, mobile quarterback that the league's seen in a long time. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like the Tom Brady comparison because as we were discussing, his scheme, at least with Bill Belichick, is just throw it to your running back on a screen or throw a little curl to your running back. Like, that's mostly what you see. Or to Edelman in zone.
Heavy West Coast up there.
Yes.
It's a heavy West Coast style.
He's not scrambling to the right and then hitting Tyreek Hill 40 yards down the field as Tyreek cuts back. Like, I don't know.
But given back about 12 years ago when he had Randy Moss, Brady proved he could throw the deep ball.
Well, Brady was also in his 30s then. So
yeah, he's not
too.
30 anymore. He isn't.
But, yeah, I don't know. I do see the comparison. Like, I see what you're saying. Like, the comparison doesn't work because of the schemes they're in. But I feel like if you combined Lamar and if you combined Tom Brady, that is the closest thing. Like, Mahomes is the closest product that you could get.
Well, speaking about quarterbacks, we have an offseason coming up, a free agency that is probably the most exciting for the quarterback position that I've ever seen. And let me list off to you the potential free agent quarterbacks who have not been paid or signed to next year yet. You have Tom Brady. That's a big name. Drew Brees. Eli Manning, Philip Rivers, Case Keenum, Ryan Tannehill, Taysom Hill, who is like the third string quarterback for the Saints, who can play every position on the football field. Like he probably could kick an extra point at this point.
I mean, like,
that's the only thing he hasn't done.
It's possible.
Blake Bortles, Teddy Bridgewater, big name there. Teddy Bridgewater, what he did for the Saints when Breeze was hurt. Dak Prescott, Marcus Mariota, and Jameis Winston. Oh my goodness. Every year, teams are scrambling for a quarterback, and now I just listed how many that you could argue are top 10. Not even that. I mean, yeah, go ahead.
And there's a few coming out of this draft class, isn't there? Like few like big names that are coming up that could be really good and start day one probably. So, I mean, that I think makes it exciting for next season. You know, because hopefully you'll have more teams doing kind of what I think it was the Saints and like the Titans were doing with like kind of some multiple quarterback packages and stuff. Like that's kind of fun to watch. You know, it changes the game up a little bit. You know, it's not the same old, kind of a little dash of excitement. So I hope that this high number of quarterbacks that we have who have been starters at one point or another this season will enter next season and get lots of playing opportunity, even if it's not on a regular basis.
Will, how many quarterbacks are going to be taken in the first round, would you say?
Okay, I'll list them off one by one. Burrow's going first to the Bengals. That's all but for sure thing at this point. Justin Herbert's definitely going in the first. Is Tua coming out? Does anybody know?
I think he is.
If Tua's coming out, Tua will go in the first. He'll go late, but he'll go. And you could argue Jake Fromm in the first, but four is the max I would go.
Four max. With this quarterback heavy saturated offseason, that's not necessarily a
I'm not sold on Fromm as a first. I'm not sold he can throw the deep routes in the NFL, the deep corners, the deep outs. I'm not confident he can throw those yet.
Man, that's a lot of quarterbacks. And
I was just going to say that the quarterbacks coming out of the draft may actually not go as high because of how many free agents there are. You know, that's definitely a variable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is just interesting. I've never seen this. I've never seen this. With this being said, it kind of plays in the Titans' favor in that Tannehill just got off to a hot start.
And then cooled off.
He cooled off. Tannehill has witnessed what it's like to play for a team that doesn't fit his talents. I don't think he ever wants to go back to that. I don't think he wants to roll the dice and play the lottery for a new team. So it could be the case that we sign Tannehill based off supply versus demand. There is a high supply of quarterbacks. So maybe we get by with not having to pay Tannehill as much as he perhaps deserves.
Let me play devil's advocate here.
Okay.
Because there's such a supply, say, for example, Brady and Breeze both make it to free agency. Neither one gets signed. You as the Titans now have to make the decision between Ryan Tannehill or one of those two.
Or Philip Rivers.
Or Rivers, because Rivers now moved to Florida.
Bridgewater and Philip Rivers aren't the name that Drew Brees and Tom Brady.
No,
are. Like I understand what you're saying, but that's not the same for sure. Like there are lots of options, I don't know. Like they were talking about this on the radio this morning on 104.5 The Zone. They were talking about, you know, well, okay, if Tom Brady does become available, should the Titans go after him? And it's most of the fans, they did like a Twitter poll, and most of the fans were against the idea. And I think I'm one of the fans that's against the idea just because of how old he is. And I think the same goes for Drew Brees. I don't know. I just think there would be a lot of hype around it, which would be cool, but I just don't think it's a good idea. I don't know.
I mean, we could go on like a 3-year run at most with Tom Brady. Drew Brees, probably the same 3-year run. our team is so young, but at the same time, you're going to have to start paying them. So we can't keep this up forever. I don't know.
Really, the decision comes down to what do general manager John Robinson and head coach Mike Vrabel actually think about Ryan Tannehill? Do they think they can win a Super Bowl with him? Because if they think so, they're going to re-sign him. They're going to pay him $20, $25 million a year and go with it. If they don't, they will not sign him back and go after one of those old guys. They have proven that they want to win right now.
Or they'll go after one of those young guys. Like, I don't think that's as out of the question either. You know, like, but I do trust John Robinson. Like, John Robinson knows his stuff. Like, he's not made many mistakes, in my opinion. Mm. You know, I think he's done a really good job. So, I'm excited to see what ends up happening. But I don't know. Ryan Tannehill makes me nervous still. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I'm not convinced. Like, he's gonna average 9.7 yards per pass like he did this year, whatever ridiculous number it was. You know, I don't know.
What worries me the most about him is basically from week 17 on, he wasn't asked to really do all that much. The offense was hand the ball off to Derrick Henry 30-something times and play good defense.
Right, and I wonder almost if, like, the Chiefs weren't keeping one safety back the entire time just to say, all right, Ryan Tannehill, let's see if you're actually good or not. You know what I mean? Like I feel like they said, all right, yeah, we'll let the Titans beat us if they can beat us throwing it. You know, yeah. I don't know. And I know we didn't, like, I feel like they kind of controlled the second half. Like, they had the ball more than us, like, or at least it seemed like to me. I didn't even watch most of the second half because I had to go to church. But, like, it just seems like that was kind of their game plan, and it seems like it did not work out in the Titans' favor, if that's true.
I could not agree more.
Their defensive line really surprised me in how they stopped our O-line, both in the run defense and the pass rush. And that's another fair point we got to realize. Tannehill had zero time to pass against the Chiefs. Zero.
He did have issues there.
Mahomes had all day, but we saw times where Tannehill shocked the world throwing it deep, just on the money. So, I don't know. It's hard, half a season practically, to judge if you're going to pay a guy $20 to $25 million a year.
Yeah. Let's not make this a Ryan Tannehill hate fest, because before week 17, he had a stretch of about 4 or 5 games there where he was playing really well every single week.
Not only just really well, he was playing like top of the league level.
Yeah, like he had the best passer rating, the second best behind Drew Brees, something like that, up until that Saints game. I mean, he was playing legitimately very good.
No, absolutely. Like, and I'm not trying to hate on him. I will be nervous no matter who the Titans sign as their starting quarterback next season, you know, but
I think all us Titans fans are scarred at the quarterback position. We're always afraid.
Yeah, and that's why I do not want to stay away from Tua. I don't care if he falls to the 29th. I think that's what pick we are. Do not draft him. He's injury prone, and he's that running-esque quarterback. I don't want it. After Jake Locker and then Mariota, I don't want it.
I tend to agree. I would rather pretty much any other quarterback on the market, both in the draft and the free agency, but Tua. That injury history just scares you to no end, especially as a Titans fan.
So is there any world where we sign both Derrick Henry, Tannehill, Derrick Henry, and Conklin? And I think Logan Ryan, is that right? Or is it Malcolm Butler that needs
Logan
another?
Logan Ryan's contract is up.
Dude, that's – what do we have? Like, we don't have that much cap room, do we?
$60 million in cap space with Wesley Woodyard and Delanie Walker making $16 million combined. So realistically, we're about to have 76 some odd million in cap, probably going to eat some money in the Walker and Woodyard deals, but basically 76. You think 20 for Tannehill, 25 for Tannehill. You're thinking 10 to 15 for Henry. That's 35 on offense. Probably going to pay 10 to Logan Ryan, as good as he's played. Then that leaves you with barely enough money to probably sign Jack Conklin.
Okay, so we got more than I thought. Hey, there's a chance we get all four of those guys back.
But no, that eats up all your free agency money, and you're that's it.
Yeah, but you're also got to think, like, there are more people leaving than just Woodyard and Delanie Walker, you know? Like, Deion Lewis probably won't be back. Mm-hmm. Tajae Sharpe probably won't be back. Corey Davis, I feel like, is a question. I hope we bring Corey Davis back or Sharpe back. Like, I hope we keep one of them. I don't know which one I prefer, honestly, because they have such different skill sets. But, you know, there are more people leaving than I think we realize. And so I think that will help us out. And, like, John Robinson, he definitely loves what he does, you know, and, like, he's even said that he's excited about this offseason. So I have confidence in him. Like, the GM and head coach position are the positions within the Titans that I worry about the least. Mm-hmm. That and the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith, because he's just
he is good, dude. He's been doing – I think he was the guy during the Music City Miracle. Am I wrong?
No, yeah, you're right. That's kind of like – that's what got him famous, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. What's that call? Well, we got a lot of options. J-Rob always mixes it up in the offseason, so it's going to be fun to keep up with. I want an edge rusher. I want a stud edge rusher. I want to trade for it. I want to do whatever it takes to get it. But we need it. Are there any good free agents coming in to rush the
good pass rushers hardly ever get to free agency. Yeah. You get a good pass rusher and you hold on to him until he can't pass rush anymore. Like, that's what everybody does in the league nowadays, because you just don't find them very much. Khalil Mack just doesn't grow on trees.
But with J-Rob, we will acquire one.
Somehow, I figure he will address the position. I mean, that is the glaring issue on this team. You could limp by with the corners you have and make another deep run.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we've talked a lot about a lot of stuff on this podcast. Y'all have anything else y'all want to bring up?
I want to bring up how this 49ers team looks like the ideal version of this year's Titans team. If we had a better quarterback and a better defensive line, we would look exactly like the 49ers.
I kind of agree with that.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of comparison between the 49ers and the Titans, and it was just interesting that both of us made it as far as we did. Obviously, the 49ers made it a game farther, kind of a big game farther, but I still don't think the 49ers will stand a chance against the Chiefs, be perfectly honest. Like, I think Mahomes and that explosive offense is just going to take control and destroy. But I guess we'll find out in 2 weeks. I don't know.
It's hard to bet against the good quarterback. It's hard to think the good quarterback with all the weapons won't find a way. Reminds me of that Peyton Manning team that won the Super Bowl a few years ago where he just lit it up all season long.
Well, all right. We've talked about a lot of things during this podcast. We talked about the free agency with the Titans, Revis versus Sherman, controversy there, the quarterback market. This is Faith Football Friends. See you later.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Faith Football Friends. We're unfortunately not going to be able to produce a Faith segment nor a Bring It to the Table segment, but we're thankful that you are listening to our podcast, and we look forward to being able to produce all three segments next week. We hope that you'll like our Facebook page, Faith Football Friends. We hope that you'll give us a positive review and that you'll share our page and our podcast with your friends and on your social media so that we can help get our content out to other people. We're having a lot of fun making it, and we hope that you're having a lot of fun listening to it. We'll be right back.